open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. And here Paul brings out various principles, the bedrock of what marriage is to be. And that really, from a perfect standpoint, an ideal standpoint, he's presenting this. I was asking Paul the other day whether he had bought Deanna anything for Valentine's, and he said, yes, I bought her a belt and a bag. And I said, man, that is great. How thoughtful of you. And he said, yeah, I think so. Now, hopefully, when she vacuums, it will all work much better this way. Isn't that a terrible example of what marriage is supposed to be? No, I'm just kidding. Yuck, right? I need a drum set behind me. But, you know, marriage is, it is a lot of work, isn't it? And those of us that have been married know what it is. And there's many blessings in it, of course, and there's many hardships that come our way and challenges, because we learn right away, once you get married, you kind of learn how selfish we really are and how we like things our way and how incompatible that is with marriage, just getting your own way. And someone said, marriage is when you agree to spend the rest of your life sleeping in a room that's too warm beside someone who's sleeping in a room that's too cold. And a lot of opposites come out. I remember Julie and I, when we were going through a marriage class, and they had us write down every opposite that you can think of with your spouse. And we were amazed. I think we had over 50, at least, opposites. She's always cold, I'm always hot, those kind of things, you know. And it just was amazing. We went on for a couple weeks figuring these out. Oh, I figured a new one, you know. And opposites are things that, you know, we're attracted to opposites, quite honestly. We're attracted to people that are different than us. And it's just one of those things, and God uses those opposites because, remember, what's that movie where you complete me? Remember he says that? I think it was, it's the romantic movie and all this stuff. There it is, Jerry Maguire. And, but it's actually true. We are to complete each other, but we can take our opposites as being competing against each other rather than completing. And so look over at verse 21, and he gives really the principle, the foundational principle. And this one verse is what saved our marriage, because when we were both saved at this point, and we had been married before we were Christians, but we were still having trouble in our marriage. And I remember called up my pastor one day, and I said, incompatible, or whatever you call it, what's that term? Whatever that is. We're going to get a divorce. And he says, wait a minute. And he lived real close to us, and he came running over there, and he asked us whether we were willing to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our marriage. And we had both done that individually. But we were pointed out to this scripture. Look what it says in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. All of these things, all of these principles about what the husband's role is and what he is to provide in the marriage, and what the wife's role is and what she is to provide in the marriage, you have to look at these things as what it says, out of reverence for Christ, you do these things. Because there's going to be times when your spouse is not living up to her end of what God says. And quite honestly, we can start to say, well, then I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do, because look at what she's doing. And vice versa, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, so I'm not going to submit to him or whatever. And it's unto Christ. There's three in the marriage. A three-strand cord will not be quickly broken, correct? It is the way God has designed it. It's three. It's accepting Jesus Christ into your marriage and allowing him to be the Lord of your marriage. And so I don't do what I'm, you know, when I do what I'm supposed to do, it's not because she deserves it or that she has earned it or that she has done everything that I want her to do. I mean, oftentimes that is what's happened, but it is out of reverence for Jesus Christ, who never fails, who never changes, you see. And I can't have any kind of an argument to not obey him. And so what happens, you know, is often, you know, when you first get married, you know, and girls, you think they're your guy is, he's so cute the way he farts and the way he stinks and all this stuff and all of that kind of stuff. And then you get married and, you know, after a while, he's like, man, why don't you take a bath, you know? I mean, you smell, you know? Don't do that anymore, you know? But we thought it was so cute when we were dating, you know? And guys, you know, the same thing about your wife, you know, the certain things, you just spoiled her to death and just wanted to do everything you could to romance her. And then after marriage, maybe 6 months, man, the romance has kind of gone out the window. And, you know, you think differently. And so we can be kind of like a Dr. Jekyll turns to Mr. Hyde, you know, in our marriages. And so here's the questions. How do we live together as one flesh? What are God's principles in marriage? And so the key is this verse 21. Both of us need to submit in different ways. We're to submit. We're to yield to the other person. That's what submit means, to yield. Remember those yield signs, or maybe we still have them, I guess, upside down triangles, right? And what does that mean? You allow the other to proceed ahead of you. You give them your right, you submit your right for them to go before you. And so submission means